Astronomerica presents a spacewalk among the stars. That's the sound of the barred owl, one of my favorite night sounds when I'm out observing. And that's the sound of a bear, not one of my favorite sounds while out observing. But tonight we'll be climbing like fleas around the underbelly of the great bear, Ursa Major, in search of the ghostly Owl Nebula and a great Messier galaxy, M108. We'll start at the second magnitude star Mirac, or Beta Ursae Majoris, which is one of the stars in the Big Dipper asterism. It represents one of the two pointer stars used to find Polaris, the North Star. The other star at the end of the bowl is Dubhe, and you'll be familiar with that if you've done the M81-M82 spacewalk. Mirac is one star down the bowl from Dubhe. Our destination is about a quarter of the way to Fecta, or Gamma Ursae Majoris, which is the next star down and which, with Mirac, forms the bottom of the bowl of the Dipper. Well, if you haven't done so, align your finder scope on a bright star so that when the crosshairs are exactly on the star, you'll have the star in the middle of your main eyepiece field of view. Mirac would make a good star for this purpose. Get in the habit of doing this every time you start observing, and you'll avoid one cause of frustration. Pause the recording here if you need to line it up. Once you're ready, put Mirac in the center of the finder. Switch to a low-power eyepiece, and take a look. Get the focus as sharp as possible. Well, I said we'd be crawling around the underbelly of the bear, but Mirac actually comes from the Arabic word for flank or loins. I think that's enough of that image, so let's move on. Mirac is a hot white star on the main sequence, fusing hydrogen into helium in its core, like the Sun. However, it's about 3 times as massive as the Sun, and around 60 times as bright. Mirac is 79 light years away. It's one of 5 of the 7 main Big Dipper stars that are part of what is called the Ursa Major Moving Group. It's not technically a star cluster, as defined by those who define these kind of things, but it is a group of stars that formed around the same time, 500 million years ago, which is actually only about 10% of the age of the Sun. And the stars are moving together through space. It's also the closest grouping of stars to us. Based on astronomers' calculations, the group has only made 2 trips around the Milky Way galaxy. The stars on each end of the Dipper, Dubhe and Alcade, don't belong to the group. But 54 other stars throughout the sky have been determined to a reasonable certainty to belong to the group, either as a core star or a member of the stream, all flowing in the direction of Sagittarius. Sirius is also a possible member, but its membership is questionable. These groups of stars that used to be clusters, then groups, eventually dissipate until they no longer belong to a definable group. Our poor old Sun is in this class, moving through the galaxy on its own, its former siblings long since forgotten. So looking in the telescope at Mirac, let's get oriented. West is the direction everything drifts with any tracking you have turned off. With my dob, it's a simple matter of putting Mirac in the center of the field and waiting a minute or so to see which direction is west. In a scope that doesn't mirror reverse the image, south will be 90 degrees clockwise from the direction of drift, east 180 degrees, and north 270 degrees. That's going clockwise from west. You should see several dimmer star patterns around the bright 2.3 magnitude Mirac. Look carefully, and you'll see a parallelogram of stars on the northeastern side of it, with another star making a tail off one of the corners. Pause the recording here to locate this pattern. That extra tail star forms a line of stars with the two corner stars in the parallelogram. Follow that line to the first star that's about the same magnitude as the brighter of the corner stars. The distance is about twice the length of the line of the three stars. At that star, make a right turn, not quite a full 90 degrees, maybe about 80 degrees, and you'll get to a 7.3 magnitude star, brighter than the guide stars we've used to find it. This star is almost 1,000 light years away, more than 12 times further away than Mirac. At this point, you've probably moved Mirac out of the field of view. On the other side of the 7.3 magnitude star is an arc of 5 stars, with a gap between the 3rd and 4th stars, counting from north to south. The 4th star is also the brightest in the arc. Pause the recording for a moment to locate this arc of stars. If you have a larger telescope and a good sky, you'll see that the second star from the north end of the arc has 2 faint stars near it that point almost back toward the 7.3 magnitude star. After the 5th star, there are several brighter stars that continue generally in the direction the arc was tracing. Just follow the trail of stars as they continue around. At the end of the arc is the brightest star in the arc, and just off that, you'll come to the bright slash of galaxy M108. That wasn't a long walk, was it? What'll probably strike you first is what appears to be a bright stellar core, but it's actually a foreground star in our own galaxy that happens to lie in front of the core of the galaxy. The galaxy is oriented roughly east-west, in case you've lost your bearings. That core may be all you can really make out other than the shape, but if you look longer, you might begin to see lots of variation in the galaxy's brightness, dark and light patches. In particular, a dark bite taken out of the northwestern edge. Use the highest power you can to increase the image scale enough to positively position these features without losing the brightness to see it at all. This is where larger apertures have a distinct advantage. Because they can pull in more light, you'll be able to use higher power without having the galaxy fade out and become too faint. This galaxy is estimated to be about 45 million light years away. Pause the recording here. Take some time to pull out the fainter details of this distant oasis of stars. The eastern arm appears brighter to me. That's opposite the direction of drift, remember. The western arm, on the side toward which the galaxy appears to drift, seems thinner, with a large bright knot appearing to be almost detached from the core of the galaxy. Images show a mass of dark, obscuring dust causing that effect. There are some smaller bright knots, tantalizingly fleeting, and perhaps a couple of stellar or nearly stellar points off on the eastern arm. The eastern arm seems to break up into little pieces at the tip. Use averted vision, moving your eye around close to the galaxy, but not looking directly at it. As your eye moves around, you'll pick up these details very briefly and then lose them. But store them in your mind and gradually build an image map in your mind of where all these details are and how the galaxy would look if all these details were visible all at once. This is a great galaxy for a sketch. You might surprise yourself how much detail you can actually see after you've sketched it. M108 is similar to M82, with all the jumbled obscuring dust. Back-to-back observations of the two would be an interesting observing project sometime, but for now, you can pause here again if you want to get some more detail out of M108. M97, the Owl Nebula, is only 48 arc minutes to the south-southeast, or position angle 144. Let's put a low-power eyepiece back in to walk over to the owl's haunt. Basically, we're going to continue walking in the direction that arc of stars that led us to M108 was taking us. We'll come to a bright 7.4 magnitude star, only 23 arc minutes further on, and a little to the left of our path. This should fit in a low power field with M108 still in view. If we make about a 90 degree left turn at that star, and continue moving in that direction, we'll see another even brighter 6.6 magnitude star, with a third bright star forming a triangle with the other two bright stars. But by this time you may have already found M97, which is just to the east of this triangle, or to the right of the path we were following. This is such a large planetary nebula, a little more than 3 arc minutes in diameter, that even in your lowest power, you won't mistake it for a star. It looks like a round, ghostly, glowing disk. It just doesn't quite fit in the same 50 power field with M108 in my scope, but if you have a wider field eyepiece, they may fit together, a really cool pair. The Owl Nebula, M97, is a planetary nebula, formed when a star in its late evolutionary stages puffs off layers of gas into the space around it. Stars like the Sun that aren't massive enough to explode as supernovas can become bloated red giants, then form planetary nebulas around them that glow from the star's energy, and then cool down to become white dwarfs. M97, the nebula, formed about 6,000 years ago, a very short-lived object in cosmic terms. Its central star is probably well on its way to the white dwarf phase, if not already there. Distance estimates are difficult with planetary nebulas, with estimates for the Owl ranging from 1,300 light-years to about 4,500 light-years, or even further. The Owl has been found to have 2 gaseous shells and an outer halo. While you're observing the Owl, here's a trivia question to ponder. Can you name the other 3 planetary nebulas in the Messier catalog? Answer coming up later. The dark eyes that give rise to M97's nickname, the Owl, can be seen in a dark sky with a telescope of around 10 inches, though I wouldn't discourage you from trying to spot them in a smaller scope. When observing planetaries, always ask yourself if you see any color. Planetaries, if they do show any color, are usually some combination of blue or green. The Owl is so diffuse, though, that it's not likely to show anything other than a gray disk. I can just glimpse the eyes sometimes, but usually only one at a time. There's an 11.8 magnitude star just off the north-northeastern edge of the nebula that you can use to help orient yourself. If you think you see the eyes, note how they're oriented in relation to this star, and later compare to an image to see if you had it right, remembering to account for any mirror reversal in your telescope. Sometimes faint details can be seen, but you can't accurately position them because they just flit in and out of vision, and you just can't pin them down accurately. A narrowband filter helps with the eyes. I can see them better with the filter, although they're still a little difficult sometimes. The southeastern one is a little darker, and therefore stands out a little bit more. If you have an O3 filter, use that. This type of object makes a tough observation sometimes, as a nebula seems to morph around and change shape as your eye picks up different parts of it better than others. The central star responsible for the planetary nebula, by the way, it's about 16th magnitude, probably too faint for many backyard telescopes. With any planetary nebula, however, make sure you remove the filter before you try to pick out a faint central star. The owl has a reputation among some observers as being faint and difficult. I never really found it to be so, and in fact, I've observed it with a 4.5-inch reflector just a few miles from downtown Pittsburgh, a city of about 300,000, with no clue at all about efficient lighting. Maybe it has something to do with how different eyes see particular wavelengths of light, but who knows? Sky transparency and level of light pollution combined probably have a lot to do with how difficult the owl will be for you. How would you rate it? Try again on a different night or from a different location and compare notes. So did you come up with the answer to our trivia question? What are the three other planetary nebulas in the Messier catalog? Well, the answer is M27, the Dumbbell Nebula, M57, the Ring Nebula, and M76, the Little Dumbbell. Not so easy answering trivia questions in the middle of the night, is it? Pat yourself on the back if you got that one. By the way, make sure you look up the drawing of the Owl Nebula by the famous 19th century observer Lord Rosse, R-O-S-S-E. It's posted on numerous web pages. You'll get a kick out of it. But that's it for this spacewalk among the stars. Have a good trip home. You remember your way back, right?